Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
A groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. School is out and it's sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what habit is, the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less, and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac, and with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop or fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. It is Friday, May 26th, and you're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. We are broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. I am your host, Issa Arian, and for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. It's SoCan Week. So with the exception of the official summertime song for like the past 30 years, you got Will Smith, we will be playing Canadian content here. And it's great. It's great to hear some new music. If you want to check out some new Canadian hip hop, particularly continue to find the new heat, you can check us out on crimesandtreasons.com. That's crimesandtreasons.com. We do a hip hop radio show on Tuesdays. And this past Tuesday was a particularly exciting episode as we had some individuals come in here and do some freestyles in the studio. So if you want to check that out, you can find it on CITR.ca or at crimesandtreasons.com. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-CITR. Today is a special day. It is the Guyanan Independence Day. Now, if you don't know where Guyana is, you should look it up on a map. It's in South America, just to give you a hint. And we have to play the summertime jam because it's summer. Well, that's officially feels like summer as it's been consistently over 20 degrees this whole week. It's been really nice since Victoria Day on Monday. I don't think the weather has disappointed me yet. And if you are looking into the weekend, you should know that you will have sunny days up until Tuesday where it'll be partially cloudy, but with highs reaching to 27 degrees. So if you like the weekend and you like to wreck beach it, then you can go let it all hang. Or if you just want to be kicking it in the city and maybe exploring your favorite hike, it'd be a great weekend to get out and check it out. You know, here I like to talk to you about the things I care about. We talk about some local politics. We talk about some national, global politics, anything that's really interesting. And sometimes we even have some guests. This morning, I was hoping to have some guests, which is why I rescheduled my program from Thursday until Friday this week, because my mother and sister are here for my graduation. And although they came about 2,700 miles to come see me for my graduation, they couldn't wake up early enough to get to the studio. So it's just me in here. I do sometimes have some comedians, some artists, some very, very smart people, just some interesting people. And occasionally I'll have a friend or two call in to give their perspective on some things. It gets a little lonely in here. And when we come back, we're going to get into what does it actually mean now that the official count has been completed in the BC provincial election. And then moving on to why American politics is so great even when it's not. So stay tuned.
Now it's getting loud. Sipping rainbow, sip, sipping rainbow.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Isarian. We got a full packed show for you. See the alarm. So that's how you know I wake up early just to speak to you all, because not everybody would do that. But me, I'm a man of the people. So that's what I do, to bring you the news, to try to help you go into your weekend a little more educated than you started with. You just got to listen to some new Canadian artists. If there is anyone that you feel that I should play in the next hour, you can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. So the votes are in the small riding and Courtney on Vancouver Island, and the results are that we are going to maintain to have a minority government here in British Columbia. And if this is your first time listening and you don't know much about BC provincial elections, a minority government isn't what you think. It just means that the party, see, in Canada, there's a three-party system, well, a multiple-party system, where to be in the majority in BC, there are 87 total votes, so you have to have 44 of those votes. And the Green Party won three votes, taking away from both the Liberal Party and the NDP. So the Green Party really has a upper hand in being able to decide specifically on key issues that they feel really strongly about. They have the leverage to negotiate between both parties. And so what that means for Christy Clark, who is the former premier, and she's going to stay the premier as long as she keeps the party confidence. This means that really she's got a few choices, and it can really come down to wanting to make a deal with the Green Party, or really just trying to push past and try to build confidence between some of the other party members, some of the people who vote NDP and some of the people who vote Green, and to try to pull them onto her side so that her initiatives can be passed. What this means for BC residents is that there'll probably be a standstill, and some of the key things that you care about will probably be put off for time and time, and continue to be bumped forward. And basically, government will continue to do nothing. Because I feel, as we understand that it is necessary and it does, and we vote on lots of things that we do care about, what really happens is a lot of nothing ends up happening. I'll be curious to see how this continues to ride out, because we've been talking about it since the election, almost, which was nearly a month ago now. And the talk has been about the recounts, but I'm waiting for the tide to change and to really get to talk about some of the things that they were campaigning on. So we'll be able to see that hopefully soon as we decide, as Christy Clark decides how she will move forward, and as the Green Party continues to keep swinging and letting us know that they are really the ones in power and the ones who get to decide on what's happening. But I have a suspicion that if people keep stalling, I mean, if they continue to stall and or not negotiate fairly, then we will see the Liberal leadership continue to just trying to push through. One law did pass, well, not pass, but an emphasis has been made that I think that everyone is happy with, is the police will now ticket people who ride their damn bikes too loud. So nothing is more annoying, or I wouldn't say unsettling, but jarring, I feel like, is a good term, when you might be enjoying a nice casual crepe or maybe a coffee, and you like sitting outside and you're just, you know, maybe having a conversation, and one of those people on Harley Davidson, you know, rides by just loud and obnoxious. And I'm sure that if you're riding a Harley Davidson and you listen, you're probably not doing it on purpose. You are probably not trying to disrupt me and my mental. However, it's probably the most annoying, it's unnecessary things I've ever seen. It's awful. But however, the police will begin to start ticketing people for $150 if they believe the bikes are too loud. Now, I don't really believe that the police will start pulling over bikers, because I feel that police I feel that bikers, for me at least, have this myth of being unsavory characters. So pulling over these people and giving them $150 tickets is a really good way to anger. And I don't really know that if that's police here, particularly in British Columbia's MO, is to rile people up, because I've never seen it happen in person. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I hope that this will at least deter some bikers from revving up the engines as they drive by me, because I feel like, one, they do it on purpose, and because it just feels personal. That's how the bikers make me feel. They make me feel as if it's personal. Moving on to something that we talked about last week that I didn't think was a possibility. We talked about Kelly Olynyk and how he's from Kamloops. Kamloops, a small, well, I don't actually know how small it is because I've never been there before, but I feel like with the name like Kamloops, you just have to assume that it's a small town. But Kelly Olynyk is a forward for the Boston Celtics, and his parents predicted that they would win. Now, they just said win. I don't know if they meant the entire series, because I feel like that still would have been, like, as much as you know that's your son, I mean, you can't possibly think that your son will dethrone LeBron James. If you didn't know, the series is over. It ended last night. I think Boston got mud stomped, 135 to 94 or something. I don't think the score doesn't really matter. It was almost 30 points, and it was clear that the Cavaliers were going to win the entire game. But Kelly Olynyk's parents predicted a victory, and they got one in Game 3. So I feel that while we normally don't get too hyped up for minor league, moral victories, I feel that that's something that Canadians and the residents of Kamloops can be proud of, that that their prodigal son played pretty well in the series, and he got out of it without breaking anyone's arm. If you watched last year, you would have seen when Kelly Olynyk tried to rip Kevin Love's arm right out of his socket. And for a Canadian with all of these Canadian values, that's not something I feel that Canadians would be proud of. Kelly Olynyk trying to rip Kevin Love's socket, but he's redeemed himself. And even Draymond Green has called him the dirtiest player in the league. But I feel like when you have a man bun, you really have to show people that you're not about that. I mean, that you're not the one to be tested. And sometimes you have to go a little overboard to do that. So, not saying I understand. Well, that's something that I would do, but I mean, I understand. Now, getting into Canadian values, there is a Conservative Party leader, I believe out of Ontario, Kelly Leitch, who said that she fears, well, this is just something that I think people are going to have to understand, that you cannot continue to talk like this. So she said that she fears that immigrants don't have Canadian values. And like we just talked about, Kelly Olynyk just ripped Kevin Love's arm out of his socket last year and put him out of the playoffs. And as we, on Canada Day, as we celebrate a 150th year anniversary of Canada, and I think just like the United States, when you acknowledge that Canada has been around for 150 years, you have to acknowledge that what the hell does that mean? And what does that mean to the people, to the indigenous people who have been here? And what does that mean for all of the heinous acts that of violence and aggression that have been committed over that 150 years that we are going to ignore as we celebrate just the wins and the whitewashed version of the history that we like to collectively believe in, as it has, just as it works for everybody. So when a party leader, you know, talks about how immigrants don't share these same Canadian values, for me, it immediately raises a red flag of xenophobia and racism, because I don't feel like you can. There are some dog whistle things that I feel like everybody understands are unavoidable, particularly when it comes to values and national values, as if every Canadian shares the same values and if all Canadian values are good. You know, I don't think that there is a collective group of people where I would say, that a collective group of people that share only a geographical area that you can draw on a map to say that these people share all of the same values, as if you can say that British Columbian values or, you know, Albertan values, Ontario values, you know, Torontonian values. You just can't group all of those people under that generalization and say they all have this, they all value the same things. And what anyone means when they say immigrant values is they're not talking about immigrants from Ireland or immigrants from the UK or immigrants from the States like me. They're not talking about that. They're talking about immigrants from the, you know, from the Middle East and immigrants from South Asia and just immigrants from, and, you know, immigrants from places where you know exactly where they're talking about. So we need to, I think, as a people, as a collective, we need to watch that and police people who potentially do not speak for all of us. Well, I don't say potentially do not speak for all of us because I don't know this woman. And I know she doesn't represent me because, one, I'm an American and I didn't get to vote for her. And two, I live in British Columbia where we have had people say things. But I feel like here people might say questionable things, but they also have a little better understanding of what it means to engage in identity politics and, you know, just the right and wrong things to say and where. But we will be talking about we will be talking a little bit about that in the next half hour, about the Pride Parade here in Vancouver and Black Lives Matter's continued opposition to how it's being ran. So when we get back, we're going to talk into how the police continue to antagonize the citizens here of British Columbia.
Access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Baby, my coffee table's strewn about with ash. I'm cushioned, but it never seems to last. I ain't been dreaming since the moment that you left. Anxious and depressed, might as well confess that when you are on my feet, I can hardly breathe. See you smiling while I am dying and kick myself for my greed. You're the baddest I've seen. Come on back to my team. Love me, leave me now. You should see me. I'm begging on my knees. I look at Kodak and miss you so bad. I see a moment frozen in time, holding you in my mind. Know that I hope we go. Look at your eyes, baby, won't you be mine? 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 Mine. I've been staying awake, rolling weed up on a plane sometimes. I've been hitting the vape, I've been hating how you stay so fine. Maybe those are the breaks and I'm living just to pay my crimes. Every step that I take, I make another mistake, rewind. We were riding the wave, never thinking it would break or crash. Then we got on a plane and you went up on my line so fast. You've been doing your thing, I would never wanna break your path. But I'm stuck in my faith and I'm praying that you make your way back. I bought some indica to help me faint. I'm crushing, but you always been my main. I give my ear for you and I don't even paint. On my knees and praying, come on back to me, girl. Miss the way that we sex. Miss your head on my chest, crumbling, and I wonder if you've been waiting on the first text. Frustrated and vexed, don't know what to do next. Been a minute, but I envision that I will get you back. I look at Kodak and miss you so bad. I see a moment frozen in time.
You're back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. You're listening to Shagbon out of Toronto, featuring Noah. That's Kodak. If you wanted to know the name of the song. So, what we were talking about before is that the police continue to antagonize people. As we know, one of the really, really big outdoor gatherings here in Vancouver is 420, the festival. And it was released in the paper that it cost $250,000. This is like a 60% increase of what it cost last year when it was being held at the Art Museum for no other reason than the, like, when I read the 250,000 number, because we talked about this on 420, and it shouldn't be a surprise because that is exactly what was predicted But it feels almost as if in the paper, particularly in the Vancouver Sun, that it was highlighted almost in a way that, well, it was not almost, it was highlighted in a way that would anger some of the people who, maybe some of the organizers or some of the people who went, as if like this is something that was unexpected, particularly when they said that the organizers would have to foot the bill. Now, I understand, I feel that the organizers of the event and the vendors should pay for the damage done to Sunset Park. You know, as we all like to, I mean, not a, I don't know if all, but everyone, but people like to partake in their own vices, and marijuana being some people's vice, and 420 being a day that they want to be outside and enjoying, you know, enjoying what they want to do. But when, you know, the landscape is ruined for the rest of the public, it definitely should be fixed, and it should be up to the people who put on the event to fix. However, how much does the cost of the $250 do you think would take to fix the grass and maybe clean some sections of the beach? Well, I don't actually know how much that costs, but I do know out of the $250,000, $170,000 of it was for policing. Now, I while I went down to Sunset Beach, I think it was around 4 o'clock. I was getting off of work. I think it was around 4 o'clock. And what I saw was just police officers, maybe 8 or 9 police officers on each and every block from Beach all the way up to Davie, just hanging out on each corner. It's almost as if, you know, maybe the police took this as an opportunity to collect some free overtime, because I don't know the statistics about the types of people, how many people were hurt. I mean, I could see them having more ambulance and first aid care, particularly just because 50,000 people is a lot of people to be around. And, you know, when people are inebriated, you know, they have a, you know, it's possible, you know, they hurt themselves. It's not a secret. But $170,000 for police to be policing, I think, is a little tad, is a tad ridiculous, because I didn't see anything nefarious going on. Moving on to what makes the American political system so great. So I'm going to play you a clip from the now GOP senator. And if you haven't heard about what happened, Gianforte, I guess Gianforte, I don't know how to say his name. Well, he was asked a question about the Affordable Health Care Act and the budgetary, and basically what's happening with health care in the United States by a reporter. And when things didn't go how he, I guess, wanted it, you know, maybe a question was asked that he didn't like, he body slammed the reporter. Now, there is audio of the incident, which I am going to play.
And what, yeah,
we'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have the
action
right
now. Shane, please.
But you know,
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
Jesus.
Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
Now, yesterday, he won in a special election. Yo, the GOP candidate who body slammed a reporter for asking him about, for asking him answers to questions, which, fairly, I believe that he has the right to ask. He body slammed, and then he won. So the people of Montana saw that and said, that's our leader. That's our guy. Now, if you're like me, and you're not, you know, you don't believe in basketball analysis and all of this new things like data and facts, these are the types of politicians that we love. Ones that are, will fight, literally get in fisticuffs because they don't want to answer a question. That's crazy that continues to be in the era that we live in. We like to think of ourselves as so smart. We like to think of us, you know, as so far beyond, as so progressive and futuristic. You know, we see, you know, we look at some of the ideas and some of the inventions that we have and that we use on a daily, like the iPhone, and we look at Elon Musk as a visionary, and we really enjoy some of the things that he, in his mind, can create or wants to create. But when it all comes down to it, really just very, very animalistic, because as we can see, this is not a deterrent. Like the capacity of mentally to answering questions and being on policy, you know, really isn't on the forefront in people's mind, and particularly in Montana, when a lot of the things that they think about or care about are local. When they see a individual, senatorial candidate, maybe, who, you know, speaks on some of the issues that they have in their own state, but refuses to answer questions about the Affordable Health Care Act and how that can affect people in their state, not only in their state, but all over the country. And he body slams a reporter. They reward him with a seat in the legislature. It is interesting. And while it is a very interesting thing that happened in American politics this week, it is not the most interesting thing. Here I'm going to play you audio from the Department of Housing's head. I feel like calling him Dr. Ben Carson, I feel like we have to... when are we going to take, just listen to the clip and we'll talk about him afterwards.
To a large extent is also a state of mind. You take somebody who has the right mind.
Hold on. I'm going to rewind that because I don't know if you guys caught the beginning.
Extent. I think poverty to a large extent is also a state of mind. You take somebody who has the right mindset, you can take everything from them and put them on the street. And I guarantee you, in a little while, they'll be right back up there. And you take somebody with the wrong mindset, you can give them everything in the world. They'll work their way back down to the bottom.
Now, I don't know about that, dog. I feel like he's a neurosurgeon. And we talk about this every time Ben Carson comes up, that he could have just lived famously in the pages of Black History Month and being a neurosurgeon who successfully split Siamese twins. He could have been great, but he continues to say, it's almost as if Ben Carson has a deal with some of these online publications where he gets paid off of these clickbait, like clicks. Like he's got to be getting paid per click, because there's no way that he can continue to say these things. And but the sad part is that I feel that a lot of people agree with him. Whether you will say it out loud or you won't say it out loud, people blame poor people for being poor all of the time. People blame people in poverty for being in poverty all of the time. Like there isn't mounds of evidence of rich people, people in power, doing everything they can to keep people poor and uneducated. And in this poverty state of mindset, like, Dr. Ben Carson is from an area where Dr. Ben Carson lied about being robbed at Popeyes. So I feel that anything he says is null and void. But I think to the larger aspect, thinking about how people look at poverty and people look at the people in poverty, the problem is that people don't look at the people in poverty as people. You see it every day when you walk here on the downtown east side, or you see homeless people. People don't even look at them in the face when they talk. And you'll see it. And if people don't understand, like, the lack of humanity, the lack of effort that it takes to just look at someone in the face and tell them, you know, I don't have it. You know, if someone asks you for money, instead of just walking by or, saying, just look at them in the face and say, hey, sir or ma'am, I do not have it today. And I 100% guarantee you that when you start treating people like people, one, it doesn't only feel good for you, but it feels like they don't continue to harass you because you are showing them some humanity. But not just homeless people, but in poverty in general, it takes a lot of stress and a lot of mental effort to live in poverty, not just to get yourself out of poverty, but to just live in it every day. Is when you're thinking about how to eat or you're thinking about how hungry you are, there are so many other things that you cannot think about. Or maybe if you are a recently released inmate and you can't get a job, even no matter how hard you work, or you can't lift yourself up out of poverty on minimum wage, or you have to develop a shell and a means of survival. So, I mean, where I can understand is poverty is not a mindset. You definitely have to develop a mindset to deal with it. And to say that poverty is a mindset is extremely, extremely dismissive of what actual poverty means. And so as you look and try to turn your nose at Ben Carson for saying what he's saying, you should really reflect and think about, you know, how do you really think about poverty and poor people? And, you have to begin there, because a lot of people legitimately believe poor people are poor because of a lack of work ethic or a lack of ingenuity, when in reality, it's just not that way. We see it all of the time, and we've seen it within this budget that has been passed by the Trump administration. It's just that, like, Donald Trump and the GOP are trying to get rid of food stamps, which food stamps are some of the means of survival for some poor people, particularly when it comes to feeding children before school. A hungry child cannot learn. And if you are not concerned about the education of children, what I feel is a good correlation is that you don't care about the future of the country, because if you only believe that a certain segment of the population needs to be educated for our country to be progressive and continue moving forward, you're wrong. As you continue to fall down and down education rankings, the quality of life of the people in general go further down. And when we talk about some of the issues that the United States is going to have in the next few upcoming years, like a bankrupt Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, what you really need are immigrants, high-skilled and highly educated immigrants, and to educate the populace of the United States so that we can all, as a country, move forward and earn and derive higher value and get higher-paying jobs so that we can pay more into Social Security so it won't go bankrupt for the individuals that are coming up on that age. But if you look at the budget, it clearly shows that people actually don't give a damn about poor people or elderly people or people who are sick. Really, what is the only thing that's risen is the defense spending, and the defense spending is going to increase by 10%. Now, see, I even fall in the trap of saying defense spending. Like, what the F are we defending? I believe there hasn't been an attack on American soil since Pearl Harbor. And I believe 1942. I can be mistaken. If you'd like to correct me, you can call in at 604-822-CITR, 604-822-2487. I lied. 2001. How did I forget 9/11? But we have increased defense spending 10%. Meanwhile, Russia is infiltrating our news, and not only our news, but our politicians. Now, I'm not so scared of Russia because I don't really even know what that means. I don't know what it means to have, like, to be like, oh, the Russians are infiltrating. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know how much my life would change, whether or my experiences, whether China took over the United States and they started speaking Mandarin, or Russia started took it over the United States and they started speaking Russian, or they just let us continue to speak English. Like, I don't particularly know how that changes for me and my people, because, I mean, my net worth is in the negatives, and I don't own anything. So if I don't own anything, there ain't really nothing to take away from me. But it continues to be an issue. I mean, it might not be an issue for me to think about exactly what the Russians could possibly do. But a concern is that we don't know. And they continue to hack. So obviously they clearly have an agenda and seem to be a few steps ahead of all of us. When we get back, we're going to be talking a little bit about some funny news and why Drake's signature shoe would be a Clark and not a cool one.
Got skyscrapers staring 'cause I'm going up. 700 floors ain't high enough. I'm talking penthouse in the ozone. Take a space shuttle to my front door. Gotta keep it lofty when there's trouble down below. If you're in a battle, got a place for you to go. Where the bass rattles the ceiling.
Like I took a photo, I be sitting low in a clean photo. When I'm talking on the phone, floating in the ozone. Baby girl, where the love at? With a boat, with a green, with a bub at? Ice cold, you a Kodak. Looking bad, look at me, look at all that. I like you straight, no chaser. Just molecules, no makeup. I lay down when you wake up. Gotta get my daily news, yeah, that's paper. And I ain't taking no pay cut. I need astronomical layups. I need front page of the fader. I need real homies, not fake ones. Backseat chilling with a bad little villain, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Baby, wanna roll with me everywhere I go, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Catch me flying through the atmosphere, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Smoke till it's gone while we playing this song, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got my top down when I ride on my side.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, East Arian. That's a new joint. I've actually never heard that, and I like it a lot. It's from the Flavor Blue. It's called Top Down. I feel like I'm going to be playing that a lot today. Or if you'd like to check out some of the old episodes, you can do that at mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath. That's mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath, where all of the episodes are podcasted. You can also check out the Facebook page at Off the Beat and Path. You can see all of the news articles that we talk about on the news. So if you want to read through them fully, if you don't believe, I give you a good idea and perspective, or you want to hear a non-bias, because I know I have my own opinions. You can check those out on the Facebook page as well. Pope Francis tried to get Donald Trump hip to some climate change game, as Donald Trump left the Pope. He met the Pope a few days ago, and as he left, he gave him a few copies of some of the works that he's done on progressive politics, progressive economics, and climate change. I feel like if the Pope tells you that climate change is real, he speaks to God, and who are you to tell him that it's not? Like, I want to know about all of these people who consider themselves Christians or Catholics. It seems they just believe what they want. I mean, and everyone's entitled to believe what they want, but I feel like you can't tell, say, you can't 100% say that it's hard to say that you are a member of a group that believes in certain things. And when the leader of that group says he believes in climate change and he is the closest thing to God, according to the book, then it's hard for you. It's hard to disagree with that. Next up, some news for you people from the Global Drug Survey, which is a yearly collection of data which sets to explore the habits and trends behind drug use, found something interesting to how people react to specific drugs. Which drug led to the least hospital visits, and basically the safest drug are psychedelic mushrooms. Over only 0.2% of the people polled had to take trips to the hospital because of mushrooms. The rate is considerably lower because of LSD and marijuana and alcohol. People who use psychedelics are generally very sensible and show some of the best preparation and adoption of harm reduction and practices of any drugs. So what that says is that people who use hallucinogenics tend to be really experienced and tend to take the drugs very, very seriously. So in plain terms, if you're going to do drugs, do them with someone who has a slight idea about mushrooms, because they will probably put you in the best situation to survive your trip. Wale fired back at Tommy Lauren, and I feel that as a collective, this is probably the most that